Thank you so much. Reading the Easter account and our text from Hebrews 12, and especially where it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Congregation of Jesus Christ, we have this morning the beautiful celebration of our risen Lord. And as we celebrate this morning, we have before us a visual, too, that we want to make Jesus greater. That was our theme through the time of Lent and here on Easter morning as well, that we want to make Jesus greater. So today we have the biggest sign of Jesus that we could fit up there, and it looks a little bit like, too, the empty tomb, or the tomb where Jesus came out in the glory of the angels. And so we thought, too, there is Jesus is the greatest in his resurrection from the dead, as the tomb is empty and the angels told the good news to the disciples. We celebrate the greatness of Jesus' resurrection. That's what we're doing this Easter morning. To put it in terms of its greatness, there is nothing in this world, the whole history of this world, no event like a war finishing or the invention of the printing press or the invention of medical, there is nothing that has happened in this world that is of more significance than Jesus rising from the dead. This is the most significant event that affects everybody and changes everything. And so that's why throughout the world, Christians gather to celebrate this day. In a world of sin and death, there is this one exception. In a world where all die, one return to life. The only hope, the only Savior, we declare that all who believe in him will also live even though they die. That he, Jesus, will raise them up. So that on that great day when he comes again in glory, all will be made new. That's our hope. That's our confidence. That's our joy today and every day. Making Jesus the greatest. Now, through the past number of weeks, we saw how in our sin, in ourselves, we tend to make Jesus smaller. And so, in the busyness of our lives, in the self-centeredness of our lives, things even like Easter, like we'll take the sign down, and then we'll have remembrances of Jesus' death here. We'll have the Lord's Supper, the red and black was with remembering Jesus' death in the Lord's Supper. And we'll do that here, but we'll do that every 6 or 7 weeks. So we'll remember, but it won't be every Sunday specifically. And then we'll remember Jesus' sacrifice like we did on Palm Sunday with the remembering too, Jesus offering the greatest sacrifice, offering himself. But yeah, we don't do that again till next year, Palm Sunday. And then we'll remember too, Jesus is the greatest person, our hero, our Lord, our Savior. But yeah, that tends in us to get smaller and smaller and smaller, so that eventually too, like we have the big cross here, but really, Jesus is small again. He's just small again. And even some of the ladies, some of the men wear jewelry, and you have a little cross, and you wear it. But it's very small, and you don't really think about it. And even in our busy days, too, we are hardly conscious that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one who our hope every day. So that's the tendency. That downward kind of picture is what the letter of Hebrews is always speaking against, saying, don't let that happen to you. Don't let Jesus become small in your life, because then you have no life, really. You are running and running and running from morning till night doing everything, but you have no life in you. And you need to see that and realize that. Life is in Jesus. And so the letter of Hebrews calls us to make Jesus greater. And we declare that Jesus is greater. He is greater than the Hebrews of this world. This reddish sign here, that he is the one who made the greatest sacrifice. He is the Lamb who takes away our sin. On Good Friday, we saw how even death is transformed. And so by his death too, we no longer fear the power of death. He is greater. He has taken away our judgment, the curse of sin and death. And today, we recognize his resurrection, his life. And that by his word and spirit, he lives in us. He is the one who gives us hope and strength and life every day. And that will lead into eternal life as we serve and trust in him. So as Easter people, we want to make Jesus greater in our lives, more central, more of a priority, the first priority, committing ourselves to him every day, living for him in humble service. Because that's the only true life that there is. This morning, I just want to take a moment and answer the one question that comes to us in this account that we read. What does that really look like exactly? To have that reality that Jesus is the greatest in our lives. What does that look like? Now, it takes various forms, but I just want to highlight for you, especially in the account of Easter, what that looks like in the biblical account. One thing I want you to notice, there is a particular energy, there is a particular joy and enthusiasm and vibrancy, and it's very noticeable in the Easter accounts in the running. People are running. You need to realize that in the time of the Bible, people did not run. You just did not run. Adults, for sure not. Running was considered undignified, and men and women never, never ran. Just wasn't done. Why was that? Well, partly the dress, the robes. They had the long, heavy robes. And so running was difficult. If you needed to run, then what you needed to do was pull up the robes. 1 Kings 18, verse 46 has an example where Elijah has been ministering to evil King Ahab. And in that, he has declared by God's power there will be no rain. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then on the day of the repentance of the people and of the fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, then Elijah prayed for rain, and the small cloud appeared on the horizon. And Elijah recognized God is going to do something amazing. He's going to do something great. The rain is going to come. And it says that Elijah hitched up his robes. That means he took those long robes and he pulled them up and he tied them up in his belt. He had a big belt around him. And then it says he ran in front of the horses of Ahab. So Ahab is on his chariot and they have to run back to the city or the rain will overtake them and they'll be caught in a huge downpour. And you have to picture Elijah is just booking it. The guy is. And why is he doing that? Because he knows God is going to do amazing, amazing thing is happening right here, right now. And he is leading the way. And he leads the way back into the city. And the rain comes and the people rejoice. That aspect of running in robes and things was very difficult. So they did not run. The second thing was that if you did pull up your robes, they weren't wearing sweats or tights or much under their robe. So you had bare legs, and that was hugely not allowed for men, and especially not for women. That you never showed a bare leg. You never did that. That was offensive to God and to other people. So to run and to pull up your rope then would be hugely humiliating. And it would just not be done. And so in the story too of the prodigal son, where the father runs to save his son, he takes that humiliation on himself for the love of his son. But there are very few examples in the Bible of people running. But at Easter, everybody is running. Did you notice that? Everybody is running. There's excitement. There's amazing. So here in our text, Luke 24, verse 12, it says, Peter had heard the news here, and he ran to the tomb. He just pulled up his robes, his bare legs. He was running because he had to see what was going on. He had to hear and see and just be part of all that God was doing. A little later in Luke 24, a couple years ago, we used the Emmaus story where the man and his wife most likely are walking to Emmaus, the two apostles of Jesus. And when they get there, Jesus reveals himself to them. And then it says in Luke 24, verse 33, they hurried back to Jerusalem after they realized the living Lord is right here with us. And it's literally they ran. They ran back to tell the good news to the 11 disciples. That was Easter day. The urgency, the joy, the excitement. In Matthew 28, verse 8, the Easter account says the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And with that joy, they ran. They ran. Women, running, that doesn't happen. They might walk quickly. There's no running. But they just pulled up their robes and ran. This was amazing. Mark 16, verse 8 adds the sense of amazing trembling. Trembling and bewildered. They didn't understand what was all going on. They ran. And so that sense of astonishment, of amazement, ecstatic, yet not fully understanding. And then in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, verses 2 and following, Mary Magdalene came from the tomb running to Simon Peter. And the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, that's most likely John himself, the gospel writer. And John and Peter, they started for the tomb. Both were running. And the one outran the other. All of the accounts of Easter. Running. We see people who have never run, running. And our Easter text points to that out of Hebrews 12, where it says to us, run. Very unusual. It is a picture of the race. It is a picture of that sense of running, but still the people, you did not run. So you are called to run with joy, with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the living Lord and Savior, who by his living power calls us to faith and works in us amazing things. So that excites us, that energizes us, that fills us with a joy and an enthusiasm. This is what God has done. And this is the God who goes with me in my life, running the race of my life. So that's an encouragement. I did want to just, do we have the video clip? Okay, there's a Christian runner who runs, and I have a little video of his running and thinking about Hebrews 12, where he is running the race for the Lord.